Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the program, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. And as a reminder, this program is being recorded. At this time, I would like to introduce your moderator for today's program, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Mary, and I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect Telephone Education Workshop update on Medicare Part D for people living with cancer. And I know this is a very critical issue for all of you on the call, and there's lots of information that's going to be coming forth to you in the next hour. Now, we have partnered with 18 other organizations in order to really reach out to so many of you on the call today. And I also particularly want to highlight the Medicare Rights Center, which you'll be hearing more about during the call. It's a wonderful resource for all of you. Now, we have on our program today, it's a very impressive group of you. There are 615 of you on the call today. So that's very impressive. You come from all over the United States. You come from large cities and from small cities, from suburban areas, as well as rural and frontier communities. And we also have international participants from Sweden, Syria, and the United Kingdom. So you really come from all over the world, and it's really a credit that each of you have chosen to spend the next hour with us. I'd like to turn your attention to the materials that you have received from us. Now, in those materials, there's information about, there's an outline our speakers have provided, and there's information about all of the different collaborating organizations. And there also is a wonderful glossary of terms that I hope you'll all find very useful. There's information about upcoming programs, and there also is an evaluation form. I want to ask all of you to take a moment and complete that evaluation form. When you think about it, who but each of you can really best tell us at Cancer Care the type of programs and the topics that you would like us to offer in future programs? So please do take a moment and complete that evaluation form and let us know what you think. We really value and treasure your responses and try very hard then to implement programs to meet your needs. Now, today's program is made possible by an educational grant from Genentech Bio-Oncology, and I really want to especially thank them for their support of our program today. Now, we have just wonderful faculty on our program today, and I want to start by introducing our first speaker, Betty Dugan, who's Director of Community Programs at the Medicare Rights Center, and she is really going to give you an overview of Medicare Part D. I now turn the program over to Betty.
Hello. So I want to tell you just a little bit about Medicare Part D, the prescription drug benefit, and how it works. As you know, Medicare has always covered some prescription drugs. It covers your medication when you're in the hospital. It always covered a few outpatient drugs through Part B, as in boy. The newest part of Medicare is the Medicare Prescription Drug Benefit, or Part D, that started in 2006. And it's for outpatient drug coverage. It covers prescription drugs that you get either at the pharmacy or by mail order. It's very different in structure from original Medicare because unlike original Medicare, you don't get this in partnership directly with the government. In order to have a Medicare Part D plan, you must join a private prescription benefit plan. Anyone with Medicare is entitled to have a Part D plan, and it doesn't matter what your income is. Anyone with Medicare, if you have Part A by itself, Part B by itself, A and B together, or a Medicare Advantage plan like an HMO. If you have any kind of Medicare at all, you're entitled to a Medicare Part D plan. And I just want to mention that there is a low-income benefit called the Extra Help Program to assist people with low incomes to pay for the Medicare prescription drug benefit. So how does it work? To get the drug benefit, the first thing is you have to choose and enroll a private drug plan. And you have to choose a drug plan that works with your kind of Medicare coverage. So if you have original Medicare, you're going to choose a standalone drug plan, sometimes called a PDP, or prescription drug plan, that works with original Medicare. So your original Medicare pays for your doctor and hospital services, and your PDP, or your Part D plan, pays for your drugs. You pay separate premiums for them, but they work well together. If you have a private plan, like a Medicare Advantage plan, and we know that Medicare Advantage plans, the two most popular are HMOs and PPOs. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan, like an HMO or PPO, you generally must get all your services from that plan. So you get your doctor services, your hospital services, And if you want a prescription drug plan, you have to choose a Medicare Advantage plan that has prescription drugs as part of the total package. You pay one premium for the whole plan, and you get all your services together from that same plan. So if you have Original Medicare, you're going to choose a PDP, a standalone plan that works with Original Medicare. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan, you're going to choose a Medicare Advantage plan that has drugs as part of the total package if you're interested in having a prescription drug benefit. So what does the Medicare drug coverage look like? The interesting thing is that they're very different from each other. The drug plans are not uniform. They have different costs. Each plan has its own formulary, which is the list of drugs a plan might cover. And each plan has its own network of pharmacies. So they're very different from one another, and there are many, many choices. Each plan has different premiums, different deductibles, co-pays or co-insurances. And most plans are structured with tiers. So most plans have four tiers. And it's like a stepladder. Depending on what tier your drug is on will depend on how much you pay for that drug. So, for example, Tier 1 is generic drugs. Tier 2 is preferred brand name drugs. Tier 3 is non-preferred brand name drugs. And Tier 4 is specialty drugs. So this is the way it might work. If you were looking for a drug for cholesterol, for example, Tier 1 would be the generic. For example, Simavastin, which is a generic, and maybe you would pay $15 for the generic. Tier 2 is the preferred brand name drug, so maybe the preferred brand name in your plan might be Zocor, and maybe you pay $25 for the preferred brand name drug. Tier 3 is the non-preferred brand name drug, so it's a little more expensive. It might be $50 a month for the Lipitor that you might need. So all of these drugs are cholesterol-lowering drugs. But the generic is going to be the least expensive. The non-preferred brand name is going to be the most expensive. And if you need a drug that falls on Tier 4, Tier 4 are specialty drugs, such as drugs for chemotherapy or Avonex for people with multiple sclerosis. And these Tier 4 drugs may actually, the copay may actually be a percentage of the cost of the drugs. So it might not sound so much that the copay is 25%, but if you have a drug that costs $4,000, 25% is $1,000 a month. So when you're looking for a plan, you're not just going to look at what the premium is. The average premium for next year is $30.36. But you also want to know how much you're going to pay for each drug, because it's going to vary depending on what tier it falls on. You're also going to pay different prices for your drugs at different times of the year. When you're in the deductible period at the beginning of the year, you're going to pay the full cost of your drugs until you reach that deductible. And the deductible in 2009 cannot be any more than $295. It might be less. But while you're in the deductible period, you're paying the full cost of your drug. When you reach the coverage period, then you pay part of the cost, usually a copayment, and your prescription drug plan pays part of the cost until you reach the coverage gap. When you reach the coverage gap, it's sort of like falling off a cliff. All your coverage stops. You have to pay the full cost of your drugs. And even though you're getting no coverage, you continue to pay your premium every month. If you have very high drug costs, you're going to hit catastrophic coverage. And during the catastrophic period, you pay very low copays, down to 5%. For the rest of the calendar year. And you should understand that the calendar year, at the end of the calendar year, the whole thing resets. And in the new calendar year, you start again with a deductible, then a coverage period, then the donut hole, and then catastrophic coverage if you reach that. So drug plans are always based on a calendar year. You should know that each drug plan has its own formulary, its own list of covered drugs. And drug plans only pay for drugs that are on their list. They're required to cover at least two medications in each therapeutic class. So when we talk about that, we mean it covers, you know, two high blood pressure medications, two cholesterol-lowering medications, two oral diabetes medications. You get the idea. It's two in every class, sort of like Noah's Ark, two by two. They're allowed to cover more than two drugs in every class, but it's a minimum of two in every class. You should know that if it'll only pay for drugs that are on the formulary, and also it will only pay for drugs that you buy at your network pharmacy. So you have to make sure not only is your drug covered, but does your plan work in the pharmacy that you like? If your drug is not on the formulary, you may be able to appeal coverage as long as the drug is not excluded by law. And I'll talk about what excluded by law means in a minute. So some drugs have to be covered. So each plan is required to cover substantially all of these classes: antidepressants, anticonvulsants, antipsychotics, AIDS medications, immunosuppressants for transplants, and anti-cancer drugs. But don't be fooled into thinking that every drug is going to be covered. You still have to check with your plan to make sure that your drug is on the formulary. Some drugs are excluded by law from Medicare coverage. That means that Congress wrote into the law for prescription drug plans that these drugs may never be covered. They include drugs for anorexia, drugs for weight loss and weight gain, fertility drugs, drugs for cosmetic purposes like hair growth, cold and cough symptom drugs, drugs for erectile dysfunction like Viagra, prescription vitamins and minerals except for prenatal vitamins and fluoride medications, and non-prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs. And then two big classes of drugs, barbiturates like phenobarbital and benzodiazepines like Valium. Medicare will never pay for these drugs because it's written into the law that they're not allowed to. So other limitations. You should know generally brand name drugs cost more than generics. That's kind of standard across the board. But also plans are allowed to use three different restrictions that help them to contain costs. With step therapy, they're allowed to require you to try older, cheaper medications before they'll pay for a more expensive medication. They can use prior authorization, which means your doctor has to get permission from the plan before the plan will pay for certain drugs. And they're allowed to have quantity limits, which may mean that your doctor says take 2 tablets a day for a month, but the plan only pays for 30 tablets. All of these things make it much harder for you to get your medication. So it might be better to choose a plan that has a little higher premium but has no restrictions than to try to figure out how do you do the step therapy, get your doctor to call the plan for permission for prior authorization, try to get do an appeal to change the quantity limits. All of those things make it much harder for you to get your drugs. So in the end, it's much better to try to find a plan that doesn't include these restrictions. So I'm going to stop talking and turn this over to Kim Calder, who's going to talk about enrollment periods and picking the right plan. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much, Betty, for an excellent presentation. Very comprehensive, really setting the stage for the entire program so we understand more about Medicare Part D. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Kimberly Calder. Kim is Senior Manager, Insurance Initiatives for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And Kim has actually worked in this area for many years, and it's been an area of great expertise of hers. And she is going to talk about the enrollment period and picking the right plan. Kim?
Well, thank you very much, Carolyn, and I'm really just going to emphasize and expand a little bit more on some things that Betty covered very well, actually. The enrollment periods, because there's actually several of them, and the importance of really picking the right plan for you. As Betty alluded to, enrolling in a prescription drug plan is voluntary. Nobody has to do this. So the first question you want to ask yourself is whether or not you really need to enroll. You probably do not need to enroll if you have current coverage from another source, and that current coverage is just as good as what would be covered on our Medicare plan, generally speaking. The official term for just as good as Medicare coverage is creditable coverage. Now, if you currently do have prescription drug coverage from another source, that provider of that coverage must inform you whether or not that current coverage is considered creditable coverage by law. They must notify you of that in writing, and you may ask for that at any time. Note that Medigap coverage, which many Medicare beneficiaries also have, Medicare Supplemental or Medigap coverage, is not creditable coverage for the purposes of prescription drugs. Also know that if you do not join a Medicare prescription drug plan when you are first eligible to do so, you can join it later if you need to without a penalty. You can join it later when you do need it without a penalty if your current source of coverage stops for any reason. You probably should consider enrolling in a plan, prescription drug plan, based on your prescription drug cost needs. If your prescription drug cost needs are pretty high, your costs are really very high, then it's pretty obvious you probably should seriously consider enrolling in a plan. But even if your prescription drug costs are low and you don't have another source of coverage, it may still be worth considering it just to avoid the penalty from late enrollment. Then the next question is, when would you enroll? Generally speaking, and this is important to remember, you can only enroll in a Medicare prescription drug plan or change plans during very specific periods, known as enrollment periods. There are several different enrollment periods, and you don't need to memorize this, but just generally so you have it in the back of your head. The first enrollment period would be when you're first eligible for Medicare. It's referred to as the initial eligibility period. The other one is the annual election period, which is what we're in right now. November 15th to December 31st of every single calendar year is the annual coordinated election period for prescription drug plans. That is the only time of the year, generally speaking, which you can join a prescription drug plan if you have not already joined during your initial enrollment period, and it's the only time of the year, generally speaking, when you can change plans if you're already in a prescription drug plan. Finally, there is a category for people in special circumstances known as special enrollment periods, and that's something I would encourage you to get some counseling on if you ever find that you have some extreme circumstances, such as you've moved out of the area and your prescription drug plan can no longer cover your needs. When you do enroll, you must do it very carefully because, as I said before, you generally can only change plans once a year, and you must be very observant of these various different enrollment periods. Picking the right plan, and this applies obviously to people who are either new enrollees or those who are interested in switching plans, is a critically important component of all this. What I'd like you to do is start by writing down your current drugs, the full names of the drugs, the full dosages that you're taking, whether or not it is generic or brand name drug, and if you do not know, you can call your doctor and ask that question or speak with your pharmacist, the monthly quantities of the current prescription that you're getting. The other thing to jot down, just to do your homework in advance, is the names of any pharmacies that you use. Because once you know that you do want to enroll, then you'll need to find the best plan for your needs. And what your current needs are may go beyond some of the really obvious things that you may have thought of. Not only do you want to make sure that it's going to cover the drugs that you need, you really need to know that it's affordable, and affordable not just in terms of the premium, but of all the out-of-pocket costs, which Betty described before. You also need to know that it's at a convenient pharmacy for you or that there's a mail-order pharmacy if that's how you choose to get your medications. And finally, if it coordinates with your current Medicare benefits. Just note that you can do this homework in stages. You may need to call your doctor or speak with your pharmacy or other different things may need to come into play here. So do it very carefully. There are a number of different very good resources that can be very helpful to you. I think the best advice I can give you today is a nice plug for Betty's organization, the Medicare Right Center. They can do an awful lot of help with you over the telephone and one-to-one counseling to help you compare drug plans. It will be based on your geographic location, any other coverage that you may have to make sure that coordinates well, and, of course, your drug needs and your cost needs. I believe that all that information about resource help is available to you on the resource information that was given out prior to the call. Some very specific questions that you might want to ask if you're beginning to do this homework yourself, you want to do the comparison yourself, is obviously, does the plan cover all the medications I'm taking? And for cancer patients, again, that is an important note that Betty brought up before, that there are certain anti-cancer drugs that have been and will continue to be covered under Medicare Part B as in boy. So your prescription drug needs otherwise would be consideration for whether or not to buy prescription drugs under Part D. Does the plan cover the most important medications that you take? You may have to make some trade-offs here, consider some trade-offs here to minimize your out-of-pocket costs. If the plan does not cover the medication that you take, does it cover one that will work as well for you? That's a question you might want to ask your doctor. does the plan require that you get special permission? These certain limitation issues come up. Does it require that you get special permission before it will ever cover a medication that you need, such as through prior authorization or a step therapy requirement? The cost issues, of course, are very important. Not only do you want to know how much the premium is going to be and the deductible, but how much are you going to be expected to pay at the pharmacy itself, either in co-payments, which is a flat dollar amount, or co-insurance, literally a percentage of the retail cost of the drug. And as Betty mentioned before, some drugs have very high co-insurance. And also, does the plan have a coverage gap? Betty described what the coverage gap is. Not all plans do require you to go through a coverage gap. Some plans have a higher premium, but you don't necessarily have a coverage gap. Also, in terms of the pharmacy, you want to pick one that has a pharmacy or pharmacies that are, of course, convenient, but also consider these questions. You might want to get these answered before you make your final selection. Can you fill your prescriptions when you travel? What would happen if you had to fill a prescription when you were out of the network area and you could not go to your network pharmacy? Can you get prescriptions by mail order? And if so, is it a mail order supplier that you're familiar with? Are you familiar with the procedures involved? Finally, let's think about the enrollment then. Once you have gotten to the point where you know which plan seems to work best for you, I would call the plan themselves. In fact, the Medicare Rights Center recommends that everybody double or triple check. Call the plan themselves and go over any little detail that you're not sure of. Make sure you understand the terms that the terms of the plan, especially with any of those restrictions like the quantity limits, the prior authorization requirements, or step therapy requirements. The plan information will be provided to you when you talk to somebody at the Medicare Rights Center or through the plan finder on the Medicare.gov website. In terms of enrollment itself, it is really best to do the enrollment directly through Medicare itself. The Medicare Rights Center can help you do that over the phone, but you will be doing your enrollment directly with Medicare. Note that your premium can be paid in one of two ways. Either you can pay it directly, which is generally recommended, to opt for direct billing and payment, or it could be deducted from your Social Security payment. If you're changing plans, it's generally wise or recommended that you do not disenroll from a current plan. Simply enroll in the new plan that you like. Allow the new plan to take over rather than trying to go through the process of disenrolling in an old one just to enroll in a new one. Note that if you're changing plans during the current annual coordinated election period right now that ends December 31st, or any time when you change plans during that election period every single year, your new coverage will begin on January 1st. But if you enroll during some other enrollment period, make sure that you really know exactly when your coverage is going to begin because it could be different. It may be the first of the month after you've just enrolled, or it may be another time. Make sure that important detail is known to you. Finally, I just want to say that you should make this selection very carefully, but today is December 4th, and generally we want people to enroll, not wait till the last minute of December 30th or 31st. And with that, I'm going to conclude and turn it back over to Carolyn.
Well, thank you very much, Kim, and also thank you for reminding people about that enrollment period timeline so that people have ample time with this information to make appropriate decisions. Thank you. Excellent presentation, as always. Thank you so much. Our next speaker is Michelle McCourt. Michelle is Director, Cancer Care Copay Foundation, Michelle is going to really talk about what is the donut hole and out-of-pocket expenses. Michelle?
Thank you, Carolyn. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Michelle McCourt. I am the director of Cancer Care's Copayment Assistance Foundation. I will be talking today about the Medicare Part D donut hole and out-of-pocket expenses. The figures that I will refer to are based on a 2009 Medicare Part D standard prescription drug plan. As Betty mentioned earlier, these figures can vary depending on the specific plan that's chosen and the medications that are prescribed. So let's start with the donut hole. The donut hole, also referred to as the coverage gap, it is the stage in a Medicare Part D plan when there is a gap in your benefit coverage. What this means is that the beneficiary, the person enrolled in the plan, becomes responsible for the full cost for prescriptions, while the Part D plan itself pays nothing. Okay, so that is the definition of the donut hole, but the bigger question is, how did you get there and how do you get out? In 2009, you will enter the coverage gap when the Part D plan and the beneficiary together have spent a combined total of $2,700 in covered prescription costs. I say covered prescription costs because the medication needs to be on the plan's formulary to be included as covered. The combined cost will include the beneficiary's annual deductible, if your plan has one, any co-payments or co-insurance, plus the amount the plan has paid. As mentioned earlier, if you have a plan that has a deductible, you may have to pay out of pocket for your prescriptions up to $295. So again, while in the donut hole, you are now responsible for the full cost of your prescriptions. Each time you purchase a covered prescription, you will still present your Part D prescription card to your pharmacist. Your pharmacist will run the claim through your Part D plan. The plan will keep track of what the beneficiary has paid toward covered expenses to determine when you reach the out-of-pocket maximum to leave the donut hole. In 2009, the out-of-pocket amount the beneficiary has to pay in order to get through the donut hole is $4,350. So while in the coverage gap, the beneficiary is responsible for the full cost of his or her prescriptions until the beneficiary has paid out a total of $4,350 in covered out-of-pocket expenses. The covered expenses that count toward the donut hole are the annual deductible, if there is one, the co-insurance or co-payments, and the amount the beneficiary has paid for covered prescriptions while in the donut hole. Premium payments are not counted toward the donut hole. When the beneficiary has reached the out-of-pocket expense of $4,350, you are now through the donut hole and into the final stage of coverage known as catastrophic coverage. The catastrophic coverage is the stage in a standard Medicare Part D plan when the plan covers 95% or more for covered prescriptions, leaving the beneficiary with a 5% or less coinsurance or copayment for the remainder of the calendar year. As mentioned earlier, this would end December 31st of the calendar year, and beginning January of the following year, you would start all over with stage one of your coverage. So basically, there are four stages of coverage that were discussed. Stage one, the deductible. If the plan chosen has a deductible, the beneficiary may be responsible for up to the first $295 in prescription costs. Stage two, initial coverage. After the deductible is met, the beneficiary and plan share the cost for prescriptions. In some plans, the beneficiary may pay a 25% coinsurance, and the plan pays the remaining 75%. Again, the percentage covered will vary depending on the plan that's chosen. Stage three, coverage gap or donut hole. You enter the coverage gap when the combined cost paid by the plan and the beneficiary during the initial coverage reaches $2,700. The beneficiary is now responsible for the full cost of prescriptions until the out-of-pocket expenses paid by the beneficiary only total $4,350. Stage four, catastrophic coverage. The beneficiary's coverage has moved through the donut hole, leaving a 5% or less copayment responsibility for the beneficiary, and the plan pays 95% or more until the end of the calendar year. Again, the figures I am using are based on a 2009 standard prescription drug plan. Most plans now have tiered coverage, so these figures can vary depending on the specific plan chosen, as well as the medications prescribed. If your plan's coverage is tiered, you may have a higher copay for brand medications than you would for generic. The out-of-pocket costs in a standard Part D plan can be very overwhelming. There are resources available on the national, state, and local levels. Individuals can look within their state for local resources to find out what is available. As Betty Duggan mentioned earlier on the call, low-income subsidy assistance is available through the states. Beneficiaries enrolled in a Part D plan with an annual income of up to 150% of the federal poverty level with limited assets can apply to their state. The assistance provided is based on a sliding scale, which will help reduce the out-of-pocket costs. On the national level, there are several disease-specific copayment assistance programs. These are programs administered by charities or foundations. The copayments made by these organizations on behalf of an eligible Medicare Part D beneficiary can count towards the donut hole out-of-pocket expenses to get through the coverage gap. There are also pharmaceutical assistance programs that may provide help with prescription drugs. A great resource for finding out more about these various programs as well as other services for cancer patients is in the Cancer Care website, and there are other resources included in your packet. So thank you, and I will turn this back to Carolyn.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle, for, again, a wonderful presentation and really for explaining, making the complex understandable for all of us on the call today. I realize these are very complex concepts, and I want to thank all of our speakers for really helping us to better understand them. However, we know that there are still questions here, so we do have now a chance for questions. We have a lot of time for questions. I'm going to ask Mary to explain to all of you how to queue up for questions, and we're going to ask her to bring all of our speakers on board to address your questions. And Mary, if you could explain to our audience how to queue up for questions, and we'll take as many of your questions as we can. And if we don't get to your questions, please do call Cancer Care after the call, and I'll explain that at the end of the call. Mary?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Our first question comes from Ruth.
Hello.
Hello.
This is an utterly ridiculous system. I have Medicare A, B, D. I have a Medigap Blue Cross. I have a dental plan.
And did you want to ask a question? It is a complicated system. It's true.
My question is, what does it look like the chances are that Obama's administration is going to get rid of all this ridiculous complication and give us a centralized single thing? And what's going to happen to all these plans at the transition point when that happens?
Wow, I want to thank you for your very look into the future question. I actually, in fairness to all of us on the call, we probably don't have the answer to that question. Unless anyone on our call wishes to address that, I just want to appreciate your asking the question and certainly acknowledge that that is certainly something that everyone is, of course, interested to know more about. Anyone want to add anything further?
Well, this is Kim. I can say the Multiple Sclerosis Society, as well as Cancer Care and many, many other patient organizations, are very involved in healthcare reform issues and have representation in Washington. At the moment, we are not aware of any serious consideration of reforming Medicare Part D in certainly the first iteration of Medicare, of healthcare reform proposals that Congress is probably going to be looking at in the new term.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, and thanks for that question. Our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Anastasia.
Hello?
Hello, Anastasia. Your question?
Hi. Actually, Anastasia stepped out. I'm listening with her. I'm another social worker. My name's Alice.
And your question, Alice?
And my question is, okay, when Medicare D started, I understood that a person who was dual eligible, who had Medicare and Medicaid, was automatically enrolled in extra health. They were going to be assigned to one of the plans with the smallest premium and without a donut hole.
And your question?
The question is that still so? Are people who are both Medicare and Medicaid eligible in their states automatically enrolled in extra help, or do they still have to request that?
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question. Michelle, do you want to address that?
It's my understanding that if you are considered a dual eligible, if you have Medicare and Medicaid, you will automatically be enrolled in the low-income subsidy assistance or the state assistance. But I believe you do have an option of picking a plan. If you don't pick a plan, then one will be picked for you. Maybe Betty has more to add to that.
If you're dual eligible, which means you have both Medicare and Medicaid, you no longer get prescription coverage through Medicaid. You must get your prescription coverage through the Part D plans in Medicare. You're automatically deemed eligible. That means you automatically get the low-income subsidy or extra help, and you are automatically assigned to a Medicare Part D plan that's considered benchmark. And by benchmark, we mean it's at or below the national average premium. A person with Medicaid who is a dual eligible, who has extra help, is allowed to change their Medicare plan once a month. If they're assigned to a plan that they don't like, they can investigate a new plan and change once a month.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Our next question.
Our next question comes from Carla.
Yes, hello. My question is, any advice you can give me about a situation that is my own, but I suspect applies to others, which is that I have stage 4 cancer, and I'm 58 years old, so I'm under the normal Medicare age. I've applied for Social Security disability, so we'll go on Medicare. I've tried many different chemotherapies, both intravenous and pill, and thus, if you ask me to write down my drugs, it would be changing all the time, and I suspect it'll change in the future, so it's very hard for me to estimate what drugs I need and what their cost would be to make the kind of informed judgment that you described in the presentation. And so I'm just worried about making this step over into Medicare after I've had very satisfactory coverage with regular Blue Cross Blue Shield, but I'm on COBRA with that, and it's going to end, and I'm going to switch over, and I'm just trying to I feel like I don't even know the questions to ask to avoid making a mistake. And is there any difference between drugs that are prescribed by doctors in hospitals like IVs versus pills that are chemotherapy pills that doctors prescribe?
Carla, those are excellent questions. I'm going to ask Kim to address your question. Kim?
I'll do my best, and I'd love it if Betty wanted to chime in with
okay.
me. Generally speaking, you're asking great questions, and it's very, very difficult to know. It sounds like you said that your COBRA coverage is going to end, so you will need a source of coverage for your prescription drugs. And the best thing you can do in terms of forecasting the future of your drug needs is to speak with your doctor and just do the best you possibly can together. I'm sure your doctor will be very helpful in understanding in this circumstance. In terms of what is going to be covered under Medicare under B or D, there, as we mentioned before, there are certain anti-cancer drugs that have and will continue to be covered under Medicare B as in boy. Medicare does and always has covered any drugs that you take while you are in a hospital. Medicare prescription drugs under Part D is really for outpatient prescription drugs.
This is Betty. Anti-cancer drugs are required. They're in those required must be covered class, which means that if you're worried about anti-cancer medications, they should be covered. Now, that doesn't mean they will be covered. Unfortunately, the plans are very good at playing the angles. But you should know that part of the Medicare prescription drug benefit plans are that you always have a right to appeal. So if a drug that you need is not covered, first of all, you can ask for an exception where your doctor can certify that the medication that he has written for you, the medication that's not on the plan, is the only drug that will work for you. They have to certify that the drugs that are on the formulary are either not as effective or dangerous to you. So the doctor is your partner in your health care, and they help if the drug is not on the formulary. They can help you go through the process of seeking an appeal. And so you can appeal and get the drug paid for even if it's not on the formulary. But it is a complicated process, so it's always better to choose a plan that works for you. Now, you're right. You don't have a crystal ball, and you can't predict what you might be needing in the future. The other thing to remember is that even though you choose a plan now, every year during the open enrollment period, you can change plans if that plan no longer works for you or if it becomes too expensive.
Thank you. And I also would like to ask Dr. Lowell Anthony. He's professor of medicine, Division of Hematology and Oncology, Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center. If Dr. Anthony, I've asked him to join the call for the question period. Would you just want to comment on the issue of working with your patients around these very complicated issues in terms of their getting their treatments in spite of sometimes rather difficult processes of getting the care that they need?
Yes. Thank you, Carolyn. I think the issues would really fall under the Tier 4 classification, especially drugs that we have certain things that we need to do, especially drugs and maybe especially pharmacies that we will complete forms and the drugs may be shipped to the address that the patient declares. And they will review the insurance and get it approved, and then we'll do what we need to answer any questions from the caregiver's perspective. So that's one area. Some drugs, it's confusing because they may be still paid under Part B, as in boy, such as 5-FU or capecitabine, or Zolota, these drugs that have an IV formulation, and also there's an oral formulation. And I think sometimes that's a confusing aspect to the drug prescription benefits. So there's we do have to remind patients that that everything is not necessarily under the D part or dog part of Medicare prescription benefits.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you. Our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Vivian.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. Number one, I was very pleasantly surprised that the doctor confirmed Zolota is not part of Part D for David. It's part of Part B. Is it correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, because I'm currently on a COBRA plan, and they consider it as an outpatient pharmaceutical drug, so it comes from a different part. My main question is this. I'm having COBRA that would expire in June. My question is that when that expires, would that classify as one of the specialized situations where they allow me to switch over to Part D without penalty? I ask the question to all experts.
Thank you, Vivian. That's an excellent question. Betty or Kim, do you want to?
If you have COBRA by itself and you're first becoming eligible for Medicare, then you will be eligible for Part D. It depends on whether you're eligible for Medicare without penalty, whether or not you can enroll in Part D right away. And it's a very complicated question, so I think that you should call the Medicare Rights Center to get the answer.
Okay, I hope that helps, Vivian, and you'll certainly let us know if you have other questions. Our next question.
Our next question comes from Kimberly.
Hi, this may seem like a really basic question, but when you talked about the enrollment period when you're first eligible, how long is that period?
The initial enrollment period is a 7-month period that begins 3 months before your 65th birthday if you're becoming Medicare eligible by right of age. It includes the 3-month period before your birthday, the month of your birthday, and 3 months after your 65th birthday. If you become Medicare eligible because you become disabled, you have been on receiving Social Security Disability Insurance checks for 24 months, you become automatically eligible for Medicare, and you'll receive information about that prior to your enrollment period.
Excellent. Our next question.
Our next question comes from John B.
Hi. I have a little confused as far as the insurance coverage. Right now I'm not on Medicare, but I'm looking at eventually within a few years getting on it. And I have very good health insurance right now, and I cover all my drugs for cancer. But when it comes time to get on Medicare, do I still have the option of keeping my health insurance and having them cover some of the donut hole costs and other costs for that aren't covered under Medicare?
That's an excellent question. Kim or Betty, or address that?
It depends on where your insurance that you have is from. If it's employer insurance and you continue to work, you can keep that insurance and you don't have to join Medicare. If it's retiree insurance, you have to join Medicare. But if your retiree insurance is, as Kim described it, creditable, as good as or better than Medicare's benefit, you can keep your retiree prescription benefit as your prescription benefit. You don't have to join a Part D plan.
Excellent. Our next question.
Our next question comes from Patricia.
Hi, I have a couple of questions. One is, with patients that have no reason to have medication coverage, that are on nothing except plain Tylenol, and they've been eligible, if a year or so down the road they start needing prescription medications, are they then penalized?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. It's true. There's a 1% premium penalty for every month that you didn't enroll.
Our next question, Mary.
Our next question comes from Shirley.
Yes, I've addressed this before. I'm constantly puzzled as to why providers and Medicare do not seem to be aware of the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, which among its provisos mandates coverage of the complications of mastectomy, including lymphedemas.
And Shirley, do you have a question you want to ask?
Yes, such as the compression sleeves. I've applied to Medicare, and they seem to be unaware of this Rights Act. I got a pair of compression sleeves in May. It still has not been paid in December.
And did you have a question?
Yeah, why is Medicare not aware of it when it's a federal law, and what do you do about expediting the process?
Okay, well, I want to thank you for that question, Shirley. And, you, of course, we had mentioned to you that we, of course, at Cancer Care do have a program here in which we can actually help to pay for the lymphedema sleeve. So that's an option just in terms of immediate issues you may have in terms of the cash flow on that. Kim, can you address the issue, the bigger issue in terms of the Medicare
I don't know about the lack of knowledge. You're certainly right. And I would say that's a perfect case for the Medicare Rights Center. Why don't you give them a call and see if they can help you with your advocacy to get it covered?
So we'll make a big plug for the working with Shirley if you want to call the Medicare Rights Center, and that's Betty's team there, and actually to see if they can really step in and actually try to move this along for you. So it sounds like you need advocates in your court to really help with that. It sounds like you've done a yeoman's task in trying to move this along, but we now have to have someone else help you with it. Thank you. Our next question.
Our next question comes from Tori J.
Hi. What is the best way for a caregiver who lives in another state to help their family member or person they're helping in this whole selection process?
Excellent question. Kim?
A great question. I would say go through the steps that I outlined in terms of literally just doing the homework first, writing down exactly what the patient's current drug needs are, and then spend time online and or speak directly with a very well-informed source like the Medicare Rights Center folks. There really is quite a bit of expertise on the Medicare drug benefit now around the country. We're highlighting the Medicare Rights Center because we love them. but there are certainly a number of different resources. www.medicare.gov, of course, is the Medicare, the official agency that runs Medicare. That's their website. And they do have a plan finder that will help you compare an awful lot of information about different plans. And you can do that and talk to somebody from the Medicare Rights Center at the same time. So there's a lot of different things that you can do, and I think that's wonderful of you to ask the question and see what all the different things that you can do to is ask.
And, Tori, I think that I appreciate your question, particularly because I think there are many people on the call who are, like yourself, caregivers and really wanting, and that's a huge role in trying to help with that. We at Cancer Care also provide support to caregivers, and so we have lots of caregiver support groups that also struggle with these issues as well. But for the technical help in terms of making those decisions, we definitely would suggest that you want to talk directly to the Medicare Rights Center. Excellent. Our next question.
Our next question comes from Diana E.
I have two quick questions. One is, it was mentioned on this program that we always have the right to appeal a drug not on the formulary, but my oncologist nurse told me you can't appeal anything to Medicare. Was that statement about always having the right, did that refer just to Part D and not to Part B?
This is Betty. You have a right to appeal any decision that you don't agree with. That is part of your right as a person with Medicare. Whether or not you will win that appeal depends on, you know, what the laws are. Now, if you have an appeal, if you feel that you're not getting a service that you need, you can call the Medicare Rights Center and we can help you with an appeal. We especially have an entire team that only helps with Part D prescription drug benefit appeals. But You can appeal decisions if you feel something should have been paid for or covered under Part B or under Part A also. That is your right as a person with Medicare.
Okay, including B. Okay, thank you. And the other part is, what about side effects drugs? Are they usually paid under B as in boy or D as in dog for side effects of chemotherapy?
It depends. And you can get the information about this on our website. Do you have a specific drug in mind? Like oral anti-nausea drugs?
Well, for example, Kytro, let's say.
Sorry?
Kytro.
And what is it used for?
Anti-nausea.
Yeah. So if you're already receiving oral anti-cancer drugs from Part B and you take the oral anti-cancer drugs within 2 hours, the anti-nausea drugs within 2 hours of the oral anti-cancer drug, it's paid for by Part B. If you take it more than 48 hours after you receive the oral anti-cancer drugs, it's paid for by Part D. So it depends.
And I'm just going to ask Dr. Anthony again to just comment on just the side effects management in terms of, you know, the importance that is with the healthcare team and helping patients to get that those medications to deal with the treatment side effects, since that's been such a major advance in the treatment of cancer.
Yes. Whenever a particular regimen is prescribed, the preparatory medications that would be given either immediately before or after is really part of the explanation of what the regimen is. So even though we talk about it as being supportive care, it's really required care. And I think that's why it falls under the B, to try to minimize any adverse effect, because it's clearly in Medicare's advantage not to have patients get dehydrated and needing ER visits, IV fluids, et cetera.
So the idea is that the goal here is that your healthcare team really wants you to get the care as is prescribed and as is within the protocol. Well, I want to thank our speakers. We've been a wonderful group of speakers. They can't hear us applauding, but they've really done a wonderful job. I want to thank them for their expertise, their knowledge, and their compassion and care. I also want to thank all of you who have asked really such superb questions. We know that you ask the questions to get answers to your specific questions, but frankly, when you're asking the questions, you really help to allow us to enhance the call. It really allows us to elaborate on a point that perhaps would not have been as fully covered. And we also want to thank you who've also, been listening and did not get a chance to ask a question. Now, I also want to just remind all of you, this is a one-hour telephone workshop, and we want to realize that there are many needs that you all have that go far beyond the scope of a one-hour program. And with that in mind, I just want to actually go over some of the services you can access from Cancer Care. Cancer Care has a staff of 40 master's-level trained oncology social workers, and we're here to provide a host of services. And those services include practical and financial assistance. So we do help with financial assistance. You've heard about our copay foundation as well. We also do offer support groups, both telephone and online groups. And we also talk to people individually, offering individual counseling both to adults and to family members and to children and to teenagers. So we offer services to the entire family. We have lots of materials and informational pieces, and, of course, we offer these telephone workshops. Most importantly, as we conclude today's program, I would not want anyone to feel that you're alone in dealing with cancer and trying to resolve any of the problems that you're coping with. We want you to feel that you're part of a community of support and that support includes Cancer Care, and that you can simply call us at 1-800-813-HOPE at any time with your questions or concerns. So I really particularly want to thank all of you for participating today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all, and I wish you all a fine day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the program. You may disconnect and have a wonderful day.